the book of Acts. So if you've got it with you, let's turn to it. And loving Heavenly Father, we really need to hear from heaven today, as we always do every day we live. We thank you for your word, but we thank you for your spirit. And as you want to just have our hearts today, we pray for open hearts and open minds. And that as you move in our life, as Gary's prayed, that deep down in the core of our being, Father, we will just open up to you. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage in Acts chapter 1, which Roland read to us, embraces all of the Easter events, not just those which occurred in Jerusalem on the weekend of the Passover. And obviously, God's work of salvation centered around the rejection of the Christ and his subsequent death and his resurrection. But God's plan included all that flowed on from there, everything that was set in motion as a result of that. The 40 days of convincing proofs, the time period of waiting for the promised comforter to come, the ascension when Christ was taken up out of the sight of the disciples, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit into those same disciples. All of this is part of the Easter event. And it includes, as we think about it, and we must think about it in a personal level, it includes all of the emotions and all of the grieving and all of the confusion and the questioning and the hope that is being born and starting to grow and the disappointment that was there and the moments of inexpressible joy. In a sense, all of those experiences are part of the whole Easter story. And God's plan didn't just involve Jesus, but also the disciples, but his plan also involves all of us. At our baptism, those of us that have been baptized, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 is often read out as a passage that well describes the object of God's saving work in Christ in our life. Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Christ was resurrected from the dead. Of course, we believe that. He was resurrected from the dead in order that we might be resurrected from death. And we are not to limit that, as we think about that, to some day off in the future after this mortal body of ours has reached its lifespan and we've died physically and then we are reunited with him. Those words, "so that we too might walk in newness of life," is our life now, before we die. Christ has been resurrected from the dead. In what sense are we resurrected? As we move through this passage that Roland's read to us, I think we see how this unfolds for us. So first of all, let's look at Easter in five parts. Number one is Good Friday. Number two is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, sometimes it's called. Number three is the 40 days. Number four is the Ascension. And number five is the day of Pentecost, coming of the Holy Spirit. Good Friday, of course, is the real death. the loss of the life of the Son of God in the experience of the disciples. Executed, as we've heard today, under Roman law by Roman soldiers, a gruesome and painful and agonizingly slow death. And death was authenticated by those same disciples the next day. Then, of course, we have Easter Sunday, which is the resurrection. Not a resuscitation like Lazarus had in John chapter 11, but a resurrection. Not a regaining of the old life, but the receiving of a whole new life. This was so amazing to those disciples. It was what Jesus had promised. In some back room in their minds, it was probably something that they hoped would be true, but when it happened, they were so amazed, so staggered, it was hard to grasp, as it's hard for us also to grasp, and yet it's at the core of everything that God did. Then the third section of the Easter in five parts is the 40 days. Let's think about that. Let's not just skip over that. This is part and parcel of it all. A period for the disciples to readjust to the new. And that was a process. 40 days is a long time. Now, in the Bible, the phrase 40 days is used lots of times. You know, rain for 40 days and 40 nights and there were lots of things. Jesus was out in the wilderness 40 days. And sometimes people might think that that's just a big period of time and maybe that's what it is. But this really was 40 days because we know that the day of Pentecost was 50 days after the Passover. That's why it's called Pentecost. So this is a long period of time that the disciples are with the Lord Jesus now resurrected. Sometimes he's with them, sometimes he's not. And during that time, he's teaching them some things about the kingdom. But what's going on inside of their own hearts and in their lives at the time? This process that they're going from the resurrection that took them in a sense by surprise, they're going through this process from doubt to assurance. But in that process, there's a lot of other things going on. There's confusion. There's questions. There's trying to grasp something. There's time of being together in prayer, as we read also in that book of Acts, as they're sharing together, as they're restoring the relationship together, because so much happened then. Peter, of course, was devastated by what he did when he denied the Lord, and the others must have been terribly shocked and terribly surprised by that, and yet probably terribly judgmental about him as well, because not long before they got to Jerusalem, they were arguing on the road as to who was the best disciple and who was the greatest and all of that sort of stuff. And now this loudmouthed Peter has just done the worst thing. So what was going on within their relationship together as they were going through all of that? They were grasping. They were slipping back. They were having insights. Ultimately, they were moving towards this new reality that they would now have to live with of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, during those 40 days, it gave time for the grieving. The grieving of the old. It was something special. When I was a little boy, I wished I'd been one of the disciples who knew Jesus face to face. I thought that would have made it so much easier for me to follow him, which is the thinking of a little boy, I guess. There was something familiar. There was something safe. There was something physical. There was something undeniable about having Jesus in the flesh right there where you could hug him And you could cry on his shoulder and you could listen to his voice. When Mary was in the garden and she mistook him for the gardener after the resurrection, she couldn't see, she didn't see until he said her name. And no one could say the name of Mary like Jesus could. And as he said her name, it all flooded back. All that beautiful forgiveness that she'd received from him, that he was a man but like no other man she'd ever met. He loved her, he forgave her, he was tender towards her. She trusted him like she'd never trusted another man before. And so what does she do? She thrusts herself at him, clings on to him, but no. So there's a lot of grieving going on. And they're sharing that with them, comforting each other for all that they've lost. That was part and parcel of it in order for them to open up their hearts to the new that was ahead of them. And then the fourth stage over the page is, of course, the ascension. And the ascension is as he's lifted up, and as the 11 disciples are standing there looking up into the sky, the angels sort of come to them and basically say to them, guys, let him go. Why are you standing here looking up here? Look to the future. After that long period of 40 days, there is this moment that comes where there's a real letting go of the old Jesus, if you like. In order to receive the new, which Christ had promised them, which was the Holy Spirit coming into their life, and that's the day of Pentecost, the last part of that whole Easter experience. And on the day of Pentecost, they received life like they'd never known it before. The life, the literal life of God within them. Not just with them, but now within them. And that was power. Power to enable them to now live themselves the new life that Christ had accomplished for them in his death and his burial and his resurrection. Good Friday set all of this in motion. Piece by piece. So when we think about Easter, let's not think of it in a limited sense. Let's think of it in its broad sense. And if we think about it in that way, I think we can see that Easter is also a model for us facing loss and grief in our own lives. Because in our mortality, we face suffering and loss and grief and death. They're just inevitable stages of living. And we probably have all learned by now that following the death of a loved one, we go through a painful process, from the initial shock and numbness of that, through all of those other emotions of sorrow and anger and all of that combined together, to finally come to a point of acceptance. But it's a process, and sometimes it's a very slow process. I think what we go through mirrors the process that God led those disciples through at the Easter. There's the Good Friday stage, of course, the death. Be it a peaceful or a painful, be it sudden or prolonged, it's an ending with an exclamation mark. There's the Easter Sunday stage. As Christians, we know with the death of a loved one, we have hope in our grief. We have this understanding that this is not a complete end here. But that doesn't have, if we were to write that down, that often doesn't have an exclamation mark behind it. It has a question mark behind it. We believe it's not a complete end, and yet we feel as if it's a complete end. So then we move into the 40 days stage, where the process of grieving, the process of coming to terms, the process of readjustment begins to happen for us to be able to move on. But that's a process. And we can't rush it. And it involves some uncomfortable moments of doubt. I don't think there's any of us who are Christians who don't have some of that. Doubt mixed in with their questions, sorrow, not necessarily about the future, but perhaps necessarily about why? Why now? Why this person? Why us? And with all of that sorrow and all of that anger that's all in there, and hopefully there's others around us in those times, like the disciples hung in together with one another through that time, and we make a readjustment. And then that leads us to the ascension stage, as it led the disciples to the ascension stage, where we come to that place of letting go. And we begin to look around at the present. And once we come to that stage, then God leads us into a little D-Day of Pentecost, where we embrace God's infilling in a fresh way, where he's heard all of the groans, he's felt all of the pain that we've been going through, he's let us ask our questions and shake our fist and all of those sorts of things, and he's just embraced all of that because he understands that we're human. We come to that place where, yes, we can move on now. There's a fresh infilling to enable us to live now the new phase of our life with some measure of joy and peace. I think it's wonderful to realise that God in his divineness provided for his disciples in their humanness. But I think Easter is also, can be, a model for our whole Christian walk as we journey from self-centeredness, which is where we are when we meet the Lord, to God-centeredness. And that's a journey. That's the journey of life, isn't it? There's a book by a guy called Roel Heiser, who it's called Seeking Spirituality, and he talks about the process of maturing in Christ as like a cycle. And I think I really relate to that. It's not like that. It's more like that as we climb, but it's often just a cycle of high points and low points, challenging points, triumphant points, tragic points, as we grow mature in Christ. He's made this comment, this kind of, I'll read this passage from John 12. You know this passage very well. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now we don't understand that Jesus talking about himself, comforting the disciples that you know, what was going to happen to him was in this process, that there would be a death, and that death was necessary, and he used this agricultural term of the seed going into the ground. But he also used it in that context of talking about them following him and taking up their cross daily and following him and getting to that point where they allow themselves to die in some way, shape or form in order for them to live. Now that's the cycle of the whole Christian life. It's life through death to life. It is that ultimately, of course, but it is also true of it now in the process of us growing. We undergo various deaths during our lives as followers of Jesus. Deaths which they end one kind of life and they open the person up to undergoing that death in order to receive a deeper and a richer form of life that's from there. Think about the deaths that we go through in our life. Some of us have already gone through the death of our youth, the death of our dreams. They are like deaths, those things. Things that we held on to, things that we took for granted, things that we assumed would be so about our life, that we would do this and we would do that, and we would go there and we would marry that person, or we would have these children, or we wouldn't have any children, or we would never get married, or we would never live in South Australia, we would never barrack for the Crows, or whatever it might be. They're silly things to talk about, but there are other things obviously that I've mentioned that are more important than that. It doesn't always work out that way. They're deaths along the way that we have to die, we have to let go of, we have to give up. Some people have to come to a point where they die to their view of God, because their view of God is so wrong. Their view of God is so cruel and so horrid. And it's holding them back. It's killing them. It's killing their relationships. It's killing their understanding of who they are as a person, as a child of God. But they come to this point where they let go of that. And it's a scary thing to do if you've had to let go of something that you've held on to for a long, long time. But we have more internal private deaths to die that are unique to each of us in different ways. A hurtful habit that is really holding us from being all that we can be. An offended psyche from someone who has hurt us, and we've lived seeking revenge from someone. We come to a point where we have to die to that. A damaged soul from childhood abuse. That there's nothing we can do about it. We cannot undo it. But there we are, living with this, living pain in our life, this living horror in our life, to come to die in that situation, to that. And there are many other things that you can think of as well that apply perhaps to you. Some of them you may not have died to yet, but you're standing on the verge of it and you're shrinking back. And there will be other things you're not even aware of yet that will happen down the track as a cycle like that. Because all of these things involve certain actions and attitudes that flow out from these hurts and these pains or these offences or these habits or these things in our life. There are values and priorities that we come to see at some point in our journey that God is wanting us to give these up, to die to let go of them, to stop clinging to them. These sort of deaths don't come easy. They involve a process. It's like an Easter process, an Easter cycle. Exactly what Christ and the disciples went through, mirrored in our own life. It's as if that's God's way. Life through death to life. Ultimately, but moment by moment and day by day. A Good Friday stage, an Easter Sunday stage. It's because of the Easter Sunday stage that we're able to journey on. A 40-day stage, because it's not a simple thing. But ultimately, in each of those little moments, coming to that ascension stage where we stop clinging to that and let it go. And we are lifted with the Pentecostal stage, if you like, in our experience there. So instead of seeing Easter as just some event in the past that affects us sometime in the future, we can see that it was an event at a certain time and place that has ramifications in our own time, in our own place, in our own life. Good Friday set in motion all the rest of that Easter event, which sets in motion an ongoing process of life through death to life in our maturing in Christ, transforming us into deeper, richer, wiser, gentler, more whole human beings, more like Christ. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us as we just lift hearts and minds to you, that you might have your way in our hearts today. For we ask this in Jesus' name, in so deep gratitude and humility for what you have done for us and continue to do for us through our Lord Jesus Christ's death, burial and resurrection. For we ask this in his name. Amen.